activities obviously are not going to be playing games in the soccer field. So they are going to do their games in the dining hall and have their snack in the dining hall. So that place is for the kids. You'll be in the lounge for coffee break. Feel free to spread the word to others. And I also put that up on Twitter and Facebook, these announcements. So they're up there if you're plugged in. The lawn bowling money will be refunded. Dan Kendrick, where are you, Dan? So he's got the money here for you guys. Obviously, even if it did stop raining now, it's too wet to go lawn bowling. So if you want to see him, he'll get you your $5 back. Today's Women in Ministry event is going to be in cabin 86 instead of outside the Smith cabin. The cooking class today in our cabin is also canceled due to the rain because it's so wet. Just kidding. It doesn't matter because we're inside. Thanks for listening. No, but actually, it might start just a little bit late because I got a Mayday text from Steve that he's mad at himself that he forgot to pick up red cabbage when he was in London yesterday seeing Spider-Man. So he's booting it in to get some more red cabbage right now for the class. If he's a bit late, don't leave. Just hang around and everything's going to be okay. My last announcement, the testimony night tonight. So just a reminder that we're going to be using the quilt that people have been working on as our springboard for our testimony night tonight. So there's a basket on that front table with little pieces of paper. If God has done something in your life this past year, an answer to prayer, something he's encouraged you about, something he's shown you about yourself or his relationship with you, his love for you, whatever it was, a special verse, write it on that slip of paper, pin it up there, and that is what we're going to use as our springboard for our testimony night tonight, not just kind of like standing up in the moment. It's going to be a little bit different, so please take a minute to write something down and pin it up for this evening. Okay, that's all my announcements, so I'm just going to have a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, this rain changes things for us at camp, but you knew all about it, and this is no big deal for you, and it very well could be a part of a plan for something you want to do today here at the camp and obviously in the environment and all around us. But God, we just want to pray for your blessing over this camp, and just as the rain falls down over every acre and place, we pray that your spirit would fall down on this camp, all over where this rain is going, on every person. We pray for the babies and the toddlers and the kids right now, that they would sense your Holy Spirit. And even if they can't explain in words what it is that's happening here at this place, that they would know there's something special, and that years later we would be able to hear them testify and talk about how they experienced God here. We pray you'd give their leaders patience and wisdom and strength this morning, because it's hard to lead when it's rainy and they get cooped up and it's sloppy and wet. So just be with them and help them, God. And we pray for the teens, God, and we thank you for how you've been moving among them. We've prayed so much for this, and we give you the praise and the glory for providing the leadership and great people to be with the teens. We pray for Krista and Eleanor and Sarah and Dan and Derek and Walt, who are leading Bible studies with them. Just give them wisdom to answer these teens' questions and help them, Lord. And God, now in our time, open our hearts, open our ears to hear your truth, and help us to say yes to you and what you want us to learn and do through this time. May your blessing be on Pastor Rebold as he brings the message, the teaching this morning. We pray in your name. Amen.
I don't know if you've noticed, but ever since we sang the opening song last night, Rain on Me, so you can blame Terry. So, Jana used a phrase there a moment ago, everything will be okay, and it reminded me of a movie that I had watched because I had spent so much time in India. There was a movie called the Grand Marigold Hotel. Have you seen that? If you haven't seen it, it's about people from England who decided they didn't have enough money to retire in England, and they were looking for a place where their retirement funds would go further, and so they found this brochure of this young Indian man who was restoring a grand old English hotel in England, and he was turning it into a retirement center. And so independently, these eight people decide that they will move to India and retire in this grand hotel. Well, when they get there, what they find out is that it's not as grand as the brochure projected it to be because it's still in progress. The young man has inherited this dilapidated old hotel from his father, and he's now trying to restore it and get it in condition. Well, the story has many avenues to go down, but there's one line in the film that I thought was great. There's a woman, she goes up to her room that has been assigned in her hotel, and she finds that the furniture is covered with cloth. She begins to remove the cloth from the furniture, and as she does, dust flies, and as she does that, pigeons fly out from various places, and she is quite upset, and she goes back down to the young man, and she takes the folder and points to the picture of this grand marigold hotel that he is restoring, and she says, "I want to stay in this hotel, not this hotel." And he says, "Ma'am, everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end." Now, that's great theology, don't you think? Everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. So, good theology. Well, this morning, we're going to look at some thoughts about some basic things that Christ teaches us. Everything that, as you wade your way and journey through the teachings of Jesus, you find that every event was a teaching event. Every miracle was a teaching he was preparing and mentoring his disciples for the job that they would have to do later on. And quite often we forget the basics. And as we are continuing to grow as the body of Christ and as the church of today, sometimes we get so embroiled in what we think is important, and we don't teach, either by principle or precept or by example, the things that are really important so that the church will continue to grow and advance in the future. And so we're going to look at some of those precepts, principles that are basic, and we're going to do that from a familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to ask Jan to come and read that for us. If you have your Bibles, and turn to Mark chapter 6, and we're going to begin, at about verse 30. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay, beginning at 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000.
Let me have it. Thank you. Miraculous miracle that takes place here, and we're often astounded about the ability of Jesus, except that when we consider he is God. But there are some things that he is doing in this passage, as you see very clearly the distinct difference between the nature of Jesus and the nature of his disciples. Naturally, his disciples are representing us, and the very nature of Christ is that nature that we want to be absorbed by and become our nature. And so Jesus, in this conflicting two natures, is sharing with his disciples how they should respond and what should take place. And there's some just very key things, six things that we will look at today, that if we would practice them, if we would make sure this is a part of our nature, this is a part of our action, I think that we would see quite often different results in a lot of our efforts. Let's look at the very first thing. First of all, to develop the ability to empathize. To empathize. Now, notice the context. Jesus has been teaching. The disciples have been working with him. And Jesus says to them, let's go to a solitary place, a quiet place, where we can be alone, where we can rest, where we can kind of recoup. And so they begin to make their way by boat. They get into a boat and make their way across the lake. And as you know, the people who he had been teaching make their way around the lake and evidently gather a whole lot more people with them as they're going to the lake, so that when the disciples get to this, quote unquote, solitary place, private place, quiet place where they can rest, there is a multitude of people. Now, what would you have done? Maybe got back in the boat and gone back out in the middle of the lake. There are some days you just don't want to see one more person. You want to deal with one more problem. You want to have to do one more ministry event. You know, I'd just like to be alone. I'd like to recoup. I'd like to restore. But Jesus' immediate response is captured by the disciples and captured by Mark, as he observes, because now years later when he writes this, he says, and Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd and had compassion on them. As I read that, I think, I wonder what Mark saw. What was the facial and body reaction of Jesus that years later, when Mark records this and writes it down for us, he remembers that Jesus is compelled by compassion and that he responded to the people because they were sheep without a shepherd. Now, all of us have the capacity and usually use the capacity to have sympathy for people. People who are hurting, people who are wounded, people who are broken, people who are in trouble. We often sympathize with them. You know, I'm sorry that you are having to go through that. We have that favorite phrase we give to them, I'll pray for you. But there's a step beyond sympathy, and it's called empathy, where I'm willing not only to see what is happening in the life of a person, but I must step into that situation and do whatever I can do in that situation. And so as the disciples are anticipating this kind of respite moment where they are pulled away, actually they are pulled in even to a greater multitude. Jesus was sharing with them that the important thing is not just us. What's happening around us? The ability to empathize, to see what's happening in the lives of other people. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Now, you know what happens when sheep don't have a shepherd? Sheep, you know, they don't look up very often. They just graze and they just wander and they don't watch where they're going and they get into danger. Well, there's a multitude of people around us who really have no direction because they have no shepherd. And how can we provide what they need until we have the ability to empathize? And I think in our culture, I don't know about Canada's culture, but in the United States, we have lost a lot of civility in our culture. A lot of what I call dumbing down in our culture. That has a broader effect on the psyche of the human spirit and the caring for another person. And quite often in the life of the church, in the life of the of ministry, it has become, well, what satisfies me? What makes me and my family feel best? What meets our needs? And we have lost somewhat the ability to be, regardless of where we're headed and what we're going to be involved in, we've lost the ability to empathize with others. In fact, we often say, well, they're probably getting what they deserve. You know, the ability to empathize, to step into a situation that is before us. As I said the other day, not every need constitutes a call, but there are those moments when what I can do may be another link in the chain that will move a person down the road to be able to find the shepherding, the comfort, the care that they need. The ability to empathize. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Then Jesus says to them, the disciples, you know, they're not on that page yet. And as Jesus is ministering to these people, they're watching their clock. And they say, you know what, it's getting mealtime and these people are going to need some food. And Jesus, they say to Jesus, why don't you send them away so they can be able to get something to eat. And Jesus immediately responds and says, No, you feed them. And the disciples thinking, what a ridiculous statement. Did you hear what he said? We don't have that kind of food. And they said, it'll take 8 months of a man's wage to feed this, thinking that would impress Jesus. You know, the cost is just too great. Didn't say they didn't have the money. They just didn't want to spend it. And Jesus says, what do you have? Look and see. The ability to analyze. Develop the ability to analyze. What do you have? Look and see. One of the things that I have discovered in this journey, in this Christian life and in ministry, is that the Lord has never been impressed by what I don't have. And yet we seem to use that as an excuse to not do or not tackle the situations before us. Well, we don't have enough people. Well, we don't have enough workers. Well, we don't have enough time. Well, we don't have enough money. And so Jesus says, well, what do you have? What do you have? One of the great lessons for me as I have traveled internationally and worked in the foreign field is to be amazed by what those people do with the little they have. And I come back home and I suddenly realize I have so much more than they have. And the thing is, I've been thinking more about what I don't have and what it would take rather than looking and analyzing what do we have. Look and see. And so the disciples are saying, don't have enough food. We don't want to spend the money here. What do you have? Look and see. That is the question that God will always present to us when we are doing ministry, when we are tackling a problem. He's not concerned about what we don't have. He wants to know, what are we doing with what we have? Are we a good steward? And so before we ever use that excuse or get into that mode of thinking, we don't have enough this, enough that, etc., what do we have? And what we will discover most of the time is that what we do have, we're not using to the fullest capacity. And that might even discover that the way that we are using what we have, quite often, we're wasting a lot of resources rather than using it more effectively. When you get down to where you really have nothing, then you begin to determine, well, how can I use what I have to get done what needs to be done? And so Jesus challenges them. Well, go look. See what you have. I don't know which disciple had to come back and say, well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's almost like they're mocking, you know. And they didn't even get that from their own resources. They stole it from a little boy. You know, took his lunch. That's what we have, Jesus. The ability to analyze. Are we really honest with God when we look at the need at hand, the task at hand, the job at hand, the challenge at hand, and we determine whether we have enough or not? Are we really spending enough time analyzing? Lord, how do we take what we have and allow you to enter into this situation so that it is multiplied? You see, until we fully give what we have, why should we think God will give us more? Until he can fully trust us with what we have, how could we think that we could be trusted with more? So it's a great step in understanding what kind of stewardship we are involved in and what kind of steward that we are being. In verse 39 and 40, after they have brought this small lunch to the disciple, to Jesus, Jesus says, now I want you to have all of the people sit down on the grass in groups of 50 and 100. Developing the ability to organize. It's easy to step over that little statement in passage of scripture that Jesus actually put them in order. Now, think about that. 5,000 men, it said 8. There probably were women and children there as well. So we really don't know the full magnitude of the crowd. But Jesus said, now let's bring some order to this situation. Let's have everyone sit in groups of 50 and in groups of 100. That's very important, as we'll see later in the story, for that. Now, quite often in kingdom work, there are individuals who get so spiritual that they think that organization is not spiritual. But you cannot look at God's kingdom, God's creation, God's earth, and not see order. There's order all around us. You look at every plant, you look at every situation, there is order. Paul told us that we should do all things, what? Decently and in order. In order. And so the ability to organize, and don't think that organization is an evil thing. Now, organization is not something we worship. Organization is something that we use as a tool. Quite often, we organize and then we create an organization and then we worship the organization. And we try to perpetuate the organization. No, we're perpetuating the kingdom, not an organization. But there needs to be organization as we live out our life in the kingdom. And so Jesus has them sit in groups of 50 and 100. Now, Jesus has been moved in his spirit with empathy. He's stepped into the situation. He's gotten the disciples involved. He's gotten them thinking, what do you have? Look and see. Now they have organized, they've got the crowd in an orderly fashion. It isn't until this moment that Jesus does what we often do first and think we should do first. It says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. The ability to spiritualize. When do I pray? Notice that Jesus didn't pray at the beginning of this task of feeding the people. That isn't the first thing he did. Quite often, we begin praying for things that we have in our pocket. We begin praying for things to take place and happen that we have the ability to do. There was a point in time when to call the hand of the Almighty into a situation. But it was after he had completed the responsibilities that were theirs. Stepped into the situation with empathy. Analyzed the situation. And organized the situation. Now we are at a point, unless God does something, we're up a creek without a paddle. And so at this point, Jesus takes simply the loaves and the fish, says he broke the loaves, and he began to beg for more food. He didn't beg, did he? He didn't even ask for more food. The scripture says he just simply gave thanks. Father, thank you. Thank you for these 2 fish and 5 loaves. Thank you. Thank you that we have this to present to the multitude. He began to give thanks. There must be power in thankfulness. There must be a multiplication factor in thankfulness. Because that's what he began to do. He began to give thanks. He broke the bread and he began to give thanks to spiritualize at the right time. Knowing when to pray and knowing when to act is important. And when we do one before we should have done the other, we'll probably struggle, probably have difficulty. I am not demeaning the aspect of prayer in one iota. But if we have the answer, if we have the resources, if we have the ability and we're not using and we're not giving and we're not doing, we can pray all day. But when we have taken care of the responsibilities that lay before us with the resources that we have available unto us, and we know that those resources are not enough, or we know that that ability is not enough, or we know that we really do need a move of God or a hand of God in this situation for the task to be fully completed and satisfied, then is the time to call in the divine power. Thy kingdom come right now, right here. The timing of when to spiritualize. Then Jesus does a unique thing. And it shows us the reason for order as well. It says that after he prayed, he then gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He divided the 2 fish among them all. Jesus doesn't take the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and begin to walk through the crowd and feed people. He gives it to the disciples to disperse. The ability to deputize. The ability to deputize. Now, what do we mean by that? How many of you here have ever seen a Western? Western? And bad guys come into town, they rob the bank. What's the first thing that the sheriff does? He gets a posse, right? He gathers up some people. He's not going to go after the bad guys all by himself. He gets a posse. And what's the first thing he does with the posse? He deputizes them. What does that mean? He gives them the same authority that he has. When they apprehend the criminal, the bank robbers, they have the same authority he would have if he apprehended them. That's what God is doing here for the disciples, and that's also what he does for us. He deputizes us. All power in heaven and earth is given unto him. We become his deputies, his disciples, and by the power of his Holy Spirit, he deputizes us, and he says, as you go, you have the same power and authority that I would have in that situation. Now, one of the key principles here is not only should we realize that about ourselves, but we also should realize that it is our responsibility to deputize people under us, to train people under us. If the church is going to advance, if it is going to grow, if it is going to continue, it is because that we are bringing a stream of disciples and workers after us and under us, and we are teaching them and equipping them for the very same things that we have been doing. We are teaching and deputizing. If I have to do it all by myself, not very much is going to get done. One of the things that I always looked for in a staff member as I was pastoring a church was their ability to build a team. I was more concerned about their ability to build a team than anything else. Because if they couldn't deputize, if they couldn't gather people around them and teach them and equip them and loose them for ministry, then we weren't going to accomplish very much. And it wasn't going to be a sustaining situation. Now notice that when the disciples go out to the multitude, it says he gave it to the disciples to set before the people. The 12 disciples didn't go to each group and hand individually 50 pieces of food out or 100 pieces of food out. They set some food out before that group. What does that do? That calls the people to be activated and involved as a part of this great miracle. So now, a leader in one of those groups takes a portion that's been laid before him and begins to disperse it among the 50 or among the 100, whatever it was, and they see it begin to multiply. And they are a part of the miracle as well. One of the things I would have loved to have observed in this miracle is Jesus while all of this is happening. He's got to be greatly satisfied to not just that the power of the Father is being manifest and who he is being revealed through this transaction, but that people are becoming involved in the miraculous. People are on this journey with him. They are learning something by hands-on that they could learn no other way. The ability to deputize. So the question that we have for ourselves as we do ministry is, who am I bringing alongside of me? Who am I developing? Who developed me? Who should I put myself under so that I can grow and learn and develop more and know how to use resources better than I ever have before? Who should deputize me? And who should I deputize? That is such a key principle in successful ministry and kingdom growth that we often overlook. And we excuse ourselves from doing it by saying we don't have enough people. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough time. Now let me say to you, you'll never get more time. And you'll never get more resources until we use effectively what we have. And if we don't equip people, we won't have enough people. Just the natural response for people is they want to be involved. But if they're asked to be involved with no training, no understanding, no encouragement, no coaching, they probably won't be. So who are we deputizing as we go on this journey? Then it says that after they ate, that the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of fragments left. Do we know that that was all that was left? No, but we know there were 12 disciples, and so they each had a basket, so they filled it. Developing the ability to economize. To economize. Nothing is to be wasted. There's also an aspect of the stewardship of their environment. They didn't leave a mess after this picnic. They cleaned up after themselves. The ability to economize, to use everything that we have and waste nothing. Years ago, I heard Dr. John Bassanio, who came to Houston, Texas to be pastor of First Baptist Church years ago, when First Baptist Church was located downtown Houston and was in a dying mode. And he said when he came to candidate for that position, he met with the church and the deacons and leaders of the church, and he reviewed their records and et cetera. And he said he noticed that in their financial records that they had in the checking account a minus $1.92 in their operating account. And in their savings account, they had $92,000. And he said as he was sitting with the deacons and talking, he said, "Gentlemen," he said, "I've noticed something here in your records. I don't quite comprehend." He said, I notice in your operating fund you have a minus $1.92, and in your savings account you have $92,000. He said, "Are you saving that to send somebody to the Holy Land, or what's that all about?" And an older gentleman on the deacon board spoke up and he said, "Well, Pastor, we're saving that for a rainy day." And Dr. Bassanio said, "Sir, it flooded here a long time ago." How are we using what we have? The ability to economize. And we will be held responsible for that, you know. That we don't waste. We don't waste, first of all, we don't waste financial resources. But secondly, we don't waste materials. Have you ever gone through the storage areas of a church? Pretty bad. You'll find all kinds of books. You'll find all kinds of material. You'll find old Sunday school lessons and Sunday school books, etc. When on the foreign field, where they could use them, they're begging for materials, you know. The ability to economize materials. The ability also to economize human life. There's no one too young and no one too old that they don't have something to contribute to the body. To the body. And we, as we grow older, need to realize also that we readjust. Our energy level may not be the same. Our abilities may fade, but that doesn't put us on a scrap heap. We still have something to contribute. We still have something that is meaningful for advancing the kingdom. And I'm responsible. I have the stewardship of my life. Lord, what do I have at this point in journey in my life? And what do you want me to do with it? And where do you want me to use it? Lord, open that door and I am available to you. And so as we're doing ministry, the thing that we must look at is, have I become so jaded in life and so calloused in life that I no longer have the ability to empathize? That I walk by needs? Years ago, I was sent on an unusual journey by God, and I was standing in the midst of a building, and it was a building that was that housed doctors, lawyers, and insurance companies. So if you came to that building, you had a problem. You needed a doctor, you needed a lawyer, you needed to file on your insurance. And I was standing in the lobby of this building, right in the middle of a huge city. And a lady came off the elevator, and she stopped right in the middle of the lobby, and she was sobbing. And I thought to myself as I saw her, perhaps I should go to her and say, you know, can I help you? Is there something wrong? But I didn't. And in a moment, she went out the door, and then I was convicted. Wow, I should have responded to that. So I ran out the door after her, and she had disappeared into the multitude on the street. I couldn't find her. And as I went back in, the Lord spoke to my spirit and said, they pass you every day and you don't even see them. We're so caught up in our life and our lifestyles that often the ability to empathize, just to look and see what's happening around about us, what are people saying just by their body language, etc., the ability to empathize, do not lose that characteristic. It is a part of the very nature of Jesus. The scripture says that he was full of compassion and mercy. Full of it. If you're full of something, that's all that can come out. Compassion and mercy. That was the nature of Jesus, and that what he was trying to share with his disciples. It's good for us periodically to take inventory in our lives. What am I doing with what I have? The ability to analyze. It's good for us as churches. It's good for this camp to analyze. What are we doing with what we have? It's good to organize. Is there anything out of order? Anything out of place? Anything that if we brought order to it would be more effective and more efficient than it is today? And Lord, help us always to stay humble before you, presenting to you that which we have, that which we are, so that when your divine power is needed in any situation, we know how to call upon it. We know how to pray, thy kingdom come now, right now. And that we are constantly working on equipping and encouraging and strengthening others in their service for the Lord. That we are deputizing other individuals, starting right in our own home, our own environments. We are equipping other individuals, whether they be our children, our grandchildren, etc. Remember, when my oldest grandson was about, I guess he was about 7 years old, and he's a pretty good sized boy for his stature. And he learned to talk very early. He was talking before he was a year old, and so he moved along pretty quickly in his ability. And today he's in drama and music and et cetera in high school. But when he was about 7 years old, I asked him. I said, "Would you like to read the scripture for me on Sunday morning?" And he said, "Yeah, Paul, I'd like to do that." So we went over to the church, and I showed him the scripture, and we practiced. And I sat and watched him, and then I shared with him a little bit about inflection and et cetera. And I read it for him. And when he got up on that Sunday morning, and I was watching him, I went, "Man, this guy is a good mimic. He knows how to do it. I mean, he had the voice." And I thought, maybe I didn't emphasize the right things. But, you know, it was a great joy to deputize him, use him at a young age, bring him along. Don't think children don't have something to contribute in the life of our body. They can bring a lot of life for us, you know. And then let us continue to be good stewards, the ability to economize. Now notice that when Jesus has completed all of this and he's taught his disciples this pattern, the scripture says, and they all ate and were satisfied. Now, have you ever been in a church where there's dissatisfaction? Hello? Well, maybe we just ought to check. Are there any of these things missing? Are we not emphasizing these steps? I think sometimes our dissatisfaction is because we have not emphasized the right things, the right principles, the right precepts. We haven't built that into our culture and developed it into the life of our people and our congregation. And so begin to do that. And they all were satisfied. That even includes the disciples who were dissatisfied about being there to begin with. But then, remember what the scripture says about that? Remember, right after this is when Jesus sent them out in the boat, put them in the midst of the lake and the storm, and he went off to pray. And it says over there that they did not understand the ministry of the loaves. They didn't get the full picture yet. They still had a lot to learn. Jesus is so patient, isn't he? So patient. And in his teaching, and he will repeat, and he will give us other opportunities, and he will go about it in a different format again and again and again for his disciples until they catch who he is and what they are a part of and who they can be in the kingdom of God. And that brings satisfaction to our life and to our ministry. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful that you just didn't set us on a path and not give us understanding and insight as to how to be followers, devoted followers of yours. Thank you for revealing and exposing us to your nature. And I pray, Father, that as we earthen vessels, this great treasure of the Holy Spirit, as we allow him to dwell in our very being, that the very nature of Christ would become our nature. Thank you, Father, that you are still working on us and forming us into the likeness of your Son, Christ Jesus. May we be pliable, may we be willing and available to be all that you are calling us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you as you wade through the puddles today. You get to be a little childlike today and splash around. All right. Jenna, you have something?
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I have four announcements related to the rain, just FYI information. The golf tournament, we were in contact with the course, and it's just too wet, so that's been canceled for today. The coffee break that we've been doing in the dining hall and sometimes we do in the square, we are going to be in the lounge because the kids, instead of playing games in the field, are doing their game time in the dining hall. So we're going to let them stay there and have their snack in the dining hall. Okay, so we're in the lounge. The lawn bowling that was going to take place, Dan Kendrick, he's got your money to give you a refund because, again, we were in contact with them and it's too wet. And the Women in Ministry event that was going to be in cabin, or that was going to be outside, is now in cabin 86. So I put this up on Twitter and Facebook, but also spread the word. It'll be on the map in your program book. Okay, great. Have a good morning. Oh, yes, the May Day about Steve. Yeah, the cooking class. Steve had to run in and get more red cabbage. It was a big thing, and we didn't worry. Everything's going to be okay. He texted me. He's back. Everything's fine.
Great.
It's all good.
Surely I have what you asked for. Okay? All right. God bless you all.